Well, for our men's Sunday school classes, this month we've had four convicting lessons from our other pastors and from Brother John Crocker. Would you agree with that assessment? Really convicting. Really should have done a lot of work in our hearts. Pastor Jones already mentioned the title for the series, Habits of Faith in Pursuit of Holiness. The first lesson that Pastor Newton started with was heavenly mindedness for earthly good. It often reminds me of what my daughter would comment when people were kind of seemingly higher minded than they should have. And she would say, well, I'm going to bring a little earth to their heaven. But often we need to bring a little heaven to our thinking, don't we? So that we can be good on earth, earthly good. Well, in that initial lesson, Pastor Newton gave us four full goals for the series. Right? To focus on patterns and practices to avoid lust and to form godly habits. And I trust that those patterns and practices have been developing even more over this month for you. Secondly, to encourage each other in that way. Right? It means you have to be able to talk about those things. And sometimes that's hard, but it shouldn't be. Right? The things that we struggle with, we all struggle with those things, and we need each other to encourage each other. So the third one was along those lines, having edifying conversations that aren't preoccupied with the sin part, but preoccupied with Christ, right, and how he can help us overcome those things. And lastly, to equip our sons and ourselves to finish the faith. Well, from Colossians 3, he gave us, or he encouraged us, to pursue Christ by seeking those things above. So we can bring that heaven down to earth, and we can consider ourselves dead to immorality and keep our minds fixed on things above in a moment-by-moment habit. Not just every once in a while, but all the time, moment-by-moment. Well, the following Sunday, Pastor Jones encouraged us to fix our eyes on Jesus from Hebrews 12. He asked if there was an object that we could gaze on without any destructive effect. Have you thought about that at all? That was really helpful to me. Because sometimes we gaze on things that hinder us, that hurt us. Sometimes we actually just glance at things that hinder and hurt us. But is there something that we can gaze on that has no destructive effect at all? And in fact, it has the opposite. And the answer to that is yes, Christ. Gaze on Christ. Fixing our eyes on Jesus is the ultimate divine directive to displace lust and magnify holy living. So, I had an instance where I was just in bed and something crossed my mind that really was not right. And it wouldn't go away, and I kept trying to think of something else, tried to divert my thoughts. And then this thought came to my mind, I've got to think of Christ. And I called out to Christ, and I haven't thought that thought since. Really? That was so helpful to me. Think on Christ. Gaze on Christ. Pastor Jones gave us scripture after scripture to help us know that gazing on Christ, what it would look like. And then he offered us 10 habits for victory against our war with the flesh. Well, our third lesson this August was from Pastor Minnick on nurturing modesty in our family. And this was a very practical and helpful lesson for all of us men to know the importance of modesty and to help our wives and our daughters cultivate the desire for modesty in our, this is kind of really not, our less than modest society. Yeah. Well, from what I understand, we've had more women download that sermon than we have men. So, and what that indicates to me is that our wives want help with this, right? And our pastor gave us good reason to be a help to them, right? And to our daughters and our granddaughters. And then last week, our dear brother, John Crocker, taught us from 1 Timothy 2:8, I want men to pray. And he effectively and passionately took us through that text and other passages and provided us with 6 habits of faith to grow in prayer. Well, I encourage you to go back and listen to those lessons or look at your notes and then take advantage of the fact that Jim Wigginton's lesson is being recorded today. We do have 2 sessions going on today, and I noticed Pastor Minnick was back there checking ages. So right? 60 and above was for here, and 59 and below is supposed to be for down below. Well, I snuck in, okay, because I'm 52. I'm not in that age category. Pastor Jones, you're younger than I am. We have quite a few younger guys in here. Well, that's okay, because Jim Wigington is older than 60. And so he had to sneak into his class too, which is fine. Well, our lesson for our older men today, those 60 and above, and really anyone else who wanted to come or who accidentally came in here, is titled Finishing Well. Finishing Well. Well, finishing what well? Well, it's finishing our life's course well as believers. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought what? Fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. And then the next verse talks about a crown, right? Something that you can pursue, an award that you can anticipate because you finished well. You want to do that? You want to finish well? Well, in Acts 20, verse 24, Paul tells the Ephesian elders that he didn't consider his life as dear to himself so that he could finish his course well. He was on his way to Jerusalem to continue preaching, and he wanted to continue preaching the gospel of the grace of God until the end of his life on earth. Well, where did that journey take him? It took him to Jerusalem and then to Rome. Did he continue? Yeah, even in chains. He continued well, and we're very thankful to the Lord for that. And then the writer of Hebrews in 12, 1 and 2 instructs us to lay aside those sins that entangle us, to run our race of faith until the end. And all these passages teach us to run our life's course well until we finish the end of our lives on earth and cross that Jordan, the death. Really, the death is our key. It's a gateway to our glorious home in heaven. Right? Finish to that point. So, how are you doing? Well, you're here, so you're not finished, right? You're still alive and doing well. How are we doing on this? Well, we've been learning over this month to develop habits of faith in that pursuit of holiness. And you as older men need to continue steadfast in the faith to the end. You must continue to develop, and to encourage younger men. Right? I think really this is one of your tasks of finishing well, is to continue to encourage younger men to do the same. And to do the same by your example and by your instruction. Finish well, but as you develop those habits, finish well by modeling that for others. Right? Who needs that? Well, you're looking at one. I remember I'm not supposed to be in this class. I'm the younger guy. I need you to finish your course well for me so I can follow your example, so I can follow your instructions. Hey, guys, this is 60 and above. Oh, you're counting. Yeah, sorry, 56, 57. Okay, very good. Well, as you mature, that is, as you get older, right, you can't do as much as you used to do, can you? My father-in-law often complained that he had a 25-year-old mind and a 75-year-old body. And you know what his problem was? He tried to act like a 25-year-old, and his body kept telling him no, right? Pain, misery, right? He wouldn't stop. Well, with age comes many changes to your body and your mind, but more so, I think, to your body. One thing that never seems to change, though, is what? Yeah, your flesh. One thing that never gets better or worse is the flesh, right? Because it gets worse, but you never overcome it. So I once asked my 92-year-old grandfather, his name's Donald Perry, he's my mom's dad, and he was a Navy veteran, a dairy farmer, ended up being a fence contractor here in town. And so if you've ever used Rob Perry Fence Company, that was his son who learned from his dad, fence contracting. He was a Christian man. And later on in his life, I asked him, I said, did the temptations ever get easier? And what I was talking to him about was the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. We already know about the pride of life. It isn't any better. But guess what he told me? Can you think? He said no. Do you think he just said no? No, he emphatically said no. And I think it's really like that. You have a 25-year-old flesh in whatever age body you have. Right? Now, just like Abraham, your body might be dead, but the flesh and the temptations aren't. Yeah. And that's a struggle, isn't it? I've actually asked the same for many older men, and they say the same. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life just doesn't go away while we're here on earth, right? While we're running our course. But we have Christ, right? And we're told to finish our race and to do something about it. We're to do what with the Spirit so that we won't do what to the flesh? Walk in the Spirit, and we won't fulfill those lusts of the flesh. And that's what we have to do. Well, all the same applications that the other pastors gave and our need to pray, like Brother Crocker admonished us, apply to us older men, to you older men, I should say. And it also applies to us. So this lesson today is not going to rehash what we've learned over the past month, but we'll rather focus on what Scripture says about your conduct as older men. And then I want to end, really focus then on how does that then translate to the next generation? What is your role as an older man? Okay? That's what I hope to do today. So let's go ahead and turn to the book of Titus. Book of Titus. And our verse for today is going to be Titus 2, verse 2. And when you look at that, you'll notice that it starts off with who we're addressing today. Titus 2, 2. Right. You see, it says there at the beginning, older men. Okay? That's some of you. Some of you. Well, my intention this morning is to follow the command to a young man in the ministry from 1 Timothy 5:1. Right. And I'm sorry to get emotional here, but it says, do not sharply rebuke an older man. Right. My intent is not to rebuke you. No. But rather, I am a younger man. I'm only 52. Right. Right, that's young, is it not? Yeah, that's young. But rather, I want to appeal to you as a father. Right, some of you are father figures to me, and I don't feel like I'm in the right place. Right, needs to be reversed. Need to be teaching me. But this is, I mean, really, this is my place today. This is where the Lord has for me today to speak to you. Well, I'm not to sharply rebuke an older man, but appeal to him as a father. Well, in the past, I've confronted some older men, and I've done it wrongly. And it never goes well. You know what ends up happening? I get put in my place, usually by that older man. So, and unfortunately, that's happened more than once. But I want you to know that there are several men in my life, not just my dad, but there are other men that I call dad. 1995. For 10 weeks, I traveled on the musical mission team. You know what I called Dr. McCauley ever since then? Most people call him Dr. Dad. I call him Dr. Daddy. Because he was my daddy. Yeah. And he really was. And I don't know if you know an older gentleman, really dignified. He shows up at least once a year and sits with us. His name is Dr. Hank. And to this day, my wife and I call him Mom and Dad Hank. Right? Why? Because they are father figures like that. We all have that. And any of those men, I would not rebuke. But I would appeal to them if I needed to, as a father. Right? And that's what I want to do today. Just appeal to you as a father. Some of you, in your own heart, you know you need a rebuke. But again, it's not going to work from a younger guy. May the Lord rebuke you today from his word, if that's what it needs to be. Well, here we are in Titus chapter 2. Well, verse 1, it says, as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. When you look through the rest of the chapter, what you're going to see is that these things of sound doctrine for different, or really for different groups of people. Right? So verse 2, you speak the sound, or those things which are fitting for sound doctrine to older men. You can see in verse 3, and then also in verse 4, to the women, older women, younger women. And then verse 6, it says, likewise urge the younger men. And then verse 9, the bond slaves there. All right, well, now look at verse 11. It gives the reason why Titus was to speak those things fitting for sound doctrine. You see the first word there? What's that first word? For. Yeah, for, because the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Right, Titus is instructing us to speak and exhort and approve with all authority. Later on in verse 14 down there, or excuse me, verse 15, but it is for this purpose, to bring salvation to all men. And then to do what with that? Instruct to deny what we've been trying to work on all month, ungodliness, worldly desires. And for all of these people, by the grace of God, through salvation, to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And then looking for the return of Christ, right? The blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. All right, so for you men to finish well, God has given salvation to you through Jesus Christ. Without that, you're not going to finish well. You're not doing well. You're not going to finish well. And the grace of God provides salvation as a means to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And it also provides a means to live as Christians with anticipation of Christ's soon return. So, what are those things directed to you older men for this purpose? Let's go back to verse 2. Well, it's a short list, right? You like lists? Check off lists. All right, let's see if we can check these things off. So, Titus, relatively younger man, is to speak things which are fitting for sound doctrine, for that healthy doctrine. Older men are to be, here's our checklist, temperate, dignified, sensible, and then sound. That's the word healthy, healthy in certain areas. Faith, love, and perseverance. Well, these are the things that are fitting for sound doctrine for you. Let's then look at these things one by one, and I want to apply them to ourselves as those who desire to finish our course well. In other words, if you're going to finish well, you have to be doing these things now. Okay? So first thing here, be temperate. Do you know what the King James word for that is? Sober. Yeah, sober. So what is that? Well, the ESV translates it sober-minded, and it really does mean just that, to be free from intoxication, right? Or really the mindedness, too, is more than just from an alcoholic perspective, but that really is what it means. This term is used in 1 Timothy 3:2 and verse 11 as well for elders and deacons' wives, right? To be temperate, to be sober. Well, men, I really want to encourage you in your older life not to be tempted, and I'm going to quote a passage here of Scripture. Don't be tempted to take a little wine for the stomach's sake. Right. Go get Pepto-Bismol. Okay? There are men, and we know some, who later in life said, I'm not well, and they were encouraged to take a little wine for the stomach's sake. And they ended up becoming a drunk. And they don't finish well. And often, what do we remember about those people? Not the 40, 50 years of good, faithful service, right? But they failed. Right? Now, why do I say that? Because the Scripture does say, Paul does say, take a little wine for the stomach's sake. Well, that's what they had in those days for a little something. What do we have today? We have an internal medicine doctor here. We got anything better than alcohol for your stomach? Okay. Works a little bit better. Right, and so what I want to emphasize here is it says be sober. And I don't want to take the teeth out of that. Men, be sober. Don't become intoxicated. Right? I listened to just a little bit of sports radio yesterday. You know how much time? And one advertisement was about drinking and driving. And it was pretty harsh. Don't drink and drive. Because what happens when you get drunk and you drive? In other words, the world knows what it's like to become intoxicated. Yeah? My former professor at Clemson, right, I've seen him intoxicated. And that in itself would scare me from ever taking a drop of alcohol. Right, the things that came out of his mouth are the things that he was always thinking, but he was sober enough not to say them. Right. Men, be sober all your life. Don't do that. Don't start drinking. Well, secondly, it says not just to be temperate or sober, but to be dignified. Well, this is the basic idea of being honorable, living a life that's distinguished as honorable. It's used in 1 Timothy of the quality of both deacons and their wives. And it's also one of those things that we should focus our thinking on in Philippians 4:8. Think on those things that are honorable. A good test of this, in my opinion, is what do you laugh at? Okay, so I really like puns. I feel like I'm a punny kind of guy. Spin on words, spin on phrases, right? especially in my classes when I teach, in parasitology, there's just so many good puns. Okay. probably ought not get that. We may have problems with our stomach if we start talking about ascaris and things like that, because it does scare us. But anyway, that's just a pun, right? So what is it that we laugh at? A dignified man doesn't think immorality, vulgarity, ungodliness, any of those things is funny. But what are the main jokes that are around, right, that we laugh at? Those are not honorable. That's not being dignified. When you laugh at things that are about immorality, vulgarity, and ungodliness, right? A dignified man hates when women are treated poorly. And he hates it even more when his Savior's name is taken in vain. Right. Does that rile you up? Right. That's a dignified man, right? At the same time, though, a dignified man doesn't lose his temper. It's honorable. He approaches it in a honorable way, but he does it in a manly way. You don't talk like that when my daughter's around. Right? That's just an example. So show yourself, older men, to be honorable, dignified. And by doing so, you will be modeling the type of Christ-like behavior to us younger men. Right? You know what us younger men are faced with all the time? Especially from people of our generation? It is vulgar things that they think is funny. Right? And it can actually dampen our own spirits down and get a little too used to it. And then, no, we need somebody to model us what it is to be dignified and honorable. Right, third in this list is sensible. And this is a word that shows up quite a bit in this passage. It's translated as self-control in the ESV and in the New English Translation. Well, the Greek term has the idea of curbing one's desires and impulses. So it's more than just using good sense. Right? So be sensible. Oh, just use common sense. It's much more than that. It's a characteristic of church elders in both 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus 1, as well as something older women are to teach the younger women there in Titus 2:5. So ultimately, you older men, use good judgment. Use discretion. Be discreet on things. This comes from your years of experience with walking with the Lord. Right? That's really what that idea is. To be men that are sensible. Yeah. Well, the last idea, verse 2, has three components to it. It says there, older men are to be sound. That is, they're to be in good health. How are you doing? In good health? It really refers to something not just being healthy, but actually being whole or being proper, being what's right. Okay? That's really the idea there. It's often used in the epistles in reference to doctrine, just like we had in verse 1, fitting for sound doctrine, that healthy doctrine, that doctrine that is proper. The opposite would be something that's unhealthy, something that's impure, something that's tainted, something that's not exactly as it should be. And so older men are to be healthy, pure, just right in these three areas. And this comes from your experience, from the studying of the Scriptures, right? From following other godly examples. You are becoming healthy in these three areas. Well, what are those? You know these terms: faith, love, and perseverance. Okay. So what is faith? That's the full body of doctrine that embodies the Christian faith. It really is what that is. Men, do you know what you believe? Do you know why you believe what you believe? It comes from a lifetime of studying the Scriptures, being under sound teaching, healthy teaching, right? Like what we receive here. And then practicing that. That is being sound in faith. Do you doubt in any way that which has been handed down to you from the saints in Jude 3? Do you doubt? We've been handed down the faith, the embodiment of the Christian faith. Do you doubt any of that? Well, you are to be pure. You're to be healthy. You're to be sound in that faith. Also, older men are to be healthy in love. Right? To be sound in love. This is agape love. It's from 1 Corinthians 13. I want you to think of that passage. Love in that way. Love is patient and kind. How you doing? This morning, with patience and kindness, right, to your wife. Maybe you don't have children at home. Well, that's a tough one for me. Like, guys, I said we were leaving at. I did, by the way, and we didn't. Just like every other Sunday. But this one, you tell them 5 minutes earlier than when you really want to leave, and then you do leave on time. You sometimes learn how to have patience and kindness in that way, knowing that I don't know what it is to put makeup on. I don't. I was in a play one time, and I was like, I'm never going to do this either. They made me wear tights too. I don't want to know why it takes so long. Okay, but I can be patient and kind. Are you healthy in love? I want you to know that the ladies' ministry has put together a one-page front and back sheet on 1 Corinthians 13. And it lists every single aspect of that and then other scripture passages. And it defines what it is and then has other scripture passages under it. And probably for, 15 or more years, I have used that almost daily to pray for myself. Why do I need to do that to pray for myself? Every day, I'm 52, I should have gotten this by now, right? Right. You guys know what that sheet looks like? I should have brought a copy in for you. But either down the hall there or in their little station that they have here, just look at it. Get it, so make people think you're going to give it to your wife. But no, use it yourself. You need to be men who are sound in love. You can't do better than what 1 Corinthians 13 says. And to actually pray that for yourself. Lord, today, help me to be patient and kind. And then look at the explanation and the other verses there. Oh, that's what it means to be patient. That's what it means to be kind. That's what it means to be gentle. Right? It means not to take account of some wrong done to me. Right? You need to do that. To be sound in love. What does Scripture say about love? That's what it looks like. 1 Corinthians 13 is for us. And if you older men will pray and model that, that will do us so good as younger men. And your wives too. And your children. And really, everyone else around you. Well, lastly, older men are to be sound in perseverance, or as the marginal note says, steadfastness. To be whole, to be pure, to be just right in steadfastness. Well, the New English Translation Bible translates this word as endurance. The Christian life's not a life of ease, is it? We've already said that at the beginning. We face hardships daily. Men who are healthy in perseverance have learned to live graciously in the face of disappointments and weaknesses. And you as older men have more experience with that, right? Just because of the time. More and more. You've experienced being misunderstood. How about unappreciated? You ever feel underappreciated or just unappreciated at all? Yeah? These are hard things, but you've actually learned how to be healthy and perseverance through that. Right? Not because it was easy, but you have some experience with that. Healthy and perseverance, you're not going to lose heart. You fully believe that God makes all things work together for good because you love God and you're called according to His purpose. And it's maybe not good to say, and you've weathered that storm over and over again, but you have, right? And you can do so again with Christ's help. All right, did you get that checklist now? How'd you do? Temperate? Feeling dignified today? Right? Sensible? What about healthy or sound in faith, love, and perseverance? All right, again, I'm not here to rebuke you, but I really do want the Holy Spirit to use His words to convict you. Right? It's an opportunity then to call out to the Lord in repentance. Lord, I'm an older man and I failed. Please forgive me and please help. Right? And don't think you're going it alone. Right? You just look around. There's everyone else that's having the same troubles. Right? And we can help and encourage one another. Well, none of us has perfected this. You're still men with your flesh, right? And your flesh raises its ugly head against every single one of those. Your flesh doesn't want to do those things. But Christ is all in all. Through Christ and His finished work on the cross, and because of His resurrection, you can walk by the Spirit and not carry out the desires of the flesh. So again, if you've been convicted about a failure, I encourage you again, right? Exhort you as a father, right? Repent. That's what you would tell me to do, right? Mm-hmm. Repent. Seek the Lord's enablement. Don't be discouraged. Right, this isn't a place to be discouraged. Be encouraged, because what when you confess and forsake that sin, what does God do with that sin? He remembers it against you no more forever. No more forever. Isn't that amazing? The all-knowing God chooses to forget your sin. That's just enough to shout hallelujah. Yeah? So don't go around being downhearted because you remember something that He doesn't. Okay? It's a major temptation. Not just for you older men, but for us younger and then college kids particularly. It's really bad. Well, I want to exhort you to pray Titus 2:2 to the Lord regularly, you as older men. Ask the Lord to enable you to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in perseverance. Ask Him to help you grow in each of these areas, and ask Him to show you if you're failing in any one of these. Don't lose hope. The Lord really is with you, and He, through Christ and by the Spirit, will enable you. Well, next I want to exhort you with one more aspect of finishing well. You don't see this directly here in our passage for men, but you do see it spelled out for the women. But I do think it's implied for us men. Titus 2, verses 3 through 5, talk about the older women, and it actually encourages them to do something with the younger women. What is that? Right, encourage. How do you do that? Hey, you need to go love your husband. So you think what that looks like? Maybe that's what it said, but you got to be able to show it, right? Encourage is this idea of coming alongside and helping. Older women are encouraged to encourage the younger women by teaching them certain things. And that really is something that they must do. But look at what verse 6 starts with. It says, likewise. Now, this idea of likewise can have some, it's different based on who you read about this. But it's in conjunction with the word sensible. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. But then it says, in all things, show yourself. Now, who's that yourself? Is that Titus? I think so. Titus to be an example of good deeds. But again, like I said, I don't think it's explicit here, but I think we can pull out of this that you older men are to be like what the older women are supposed to do for the younger women. Likewise, you older men to the younger men. And then Titus especially, you do this. Be an example to the younger men. Paul's instructing Titus in the same way. He says to urge, to come alongside. Right? That's really that word. It's not a term that means to get behind and push. Okay? Look at it. You don't urge the young men by pushing them. Okay? But you urge them by coming alongside, putting your arm around them, and saying, this is what the scripture says. Let me show you how to do it. Okay? Now, well, Paul, again, he tells Titus to do this in verses 7 to 8. He says, let me show you how by being an example. Here it is. You do this in verses 7 and 8. Well, brothers, an important way for you to finish your course well is to come alongside the young men and show them how to be sensible, right? Not just use good sense. Like we said before, to follow what the scripture says in all things. You really are called to mentor the younger generation so that when they become older men, they're doing the same thing. You know what happens when you're tempted, right? You can encourage the younger men. You've learned how to be dignified. You can show younger men how to be dignified. You've learned how to be healthy, to be sound in faith, love, and perseverance. You can show them. Well, probably the question that comes to your mind is, how? Right. Did you read my notes? Okay, it's because he said the word how with me, and that's what it says right here in my notes. Yeah, how? How do you do that? Well, Deuteronomy 6 puts the priority on you as fathers for your sons. Right? And it gives a good example of how to do that for your sons. It's really every day, all the time, in every situation, you're instructing your children to fear the Lord. Right? By showing them what to do. I think your secondary responsibility is to your sons in the faith. Your younger brothers in Christ. Well, I really could use lots of analogies here, but I think all of you know them pretty well. How about this? Sometimes you learn better by somebody showing you how to do something, by somebody just telling you how to do something. Right? Have they ever just told you how to bait a line? Did anybody ever show you how to bait a line? Fishing line, that is. Yeah? Which one works better? I told you how to do it. Why aren't you doing it right? You ever heard that, by the way? How does that work? How does that make you feel? Why are you laughing? Because you guys experienced that too? But I told you how to do that. Okay? So what about changing the oil? It's the best way to teach your sons to change the oil. All right, give him $50 and say, go to. Oh. I don't know. My dad always said, hey, I'm going to change the oil because I know it's done right. Right. So he taught me how to change the oil. Right? Part of it is get down there and change the oil. And I mess up and he's like, this is what you did wrong. Let me show you how to do it right next time. Right? You see where my analogies are going here? Yeah? Well, what about smoking meat to perfection? Which one? Is that easier just told? Or to actually show? It's actually a lot more fun to show them how to do it. Yeah? My son just got married. I wanted to make sure he knew how to cook meat the right way. Right? He's in Phoenix. I can't show him. I had to show him while he's here, right? So we eat a lot of smoked meat while he's here. Yeah? Because you got to show. You can't just tell. Now, you can get on YouTube videos, but what's the problem with YouTube videos? They don't tell you what you did wrong. Right? They said, do it this way. And you go and do it. It didn't turn out right. What did I do wrong? Go watch a YouTube video again. What did he tell you? The exact same thing. Okay, where am I going with this? You older men need to finish well by coming alongside your younger brother and showing them how to be older men one day. Right? They need to learn how to pray. How are they going to learn how to pray? By praying with you. They need to learn how to evangelize. Do you know that we younger men need to learn how to fast scripturally? We need your help to know how to do that. We need help in leading family worship. We need help in how to love our wives according to knowledge. So we need you to coach us, to come alongside us, to help us. And again, this question is, well, how do I do that? Let me give you some suggestions here in the last couple minutes. I trust that many of you are already doing some of these things. But on Wednesday night, instead of just seeking out the same guy you always pray with, I look, I see who everybody prays with. I'm just kidding. Seek out a younger man to pray with them, to intentionally model for them how to pray. Well, I don't feel adequate. Well, you've been praying longer than they have. Okay? You might can learn some things from them by praying with them, but intentionally pray with them. And then don't just pray with them, follow them up on Sunday. Hey, how are you doing about those things we prayed about? Right? That's modeling for them. Pray that the Lord would give you at least one young man to mentor, and then look for the answer. And I did this. At school, I get a lot of young ladies that come for help. Really, I do. And I really find that a lot of joy in pointing them to Scripture. But I started praying that the Lord would give me a man, because I was feeling inadequate in mentoring a man, a young man. And the Lord did. I looked for the answer, and I met with a guy once a week, all last year. Why? It's because I prayed. Pray that the Lord would give you a young man to mentor, and then look for the answer. And then go to it. You may not know how. Ask other men around you. Well, what do you do? Okay? Well, what helped you? What do you wish somebody had done for you? That's what you do. Right? You get with them and you talk about life. Right? You don't just talk sports or whatever, music. You talk about living for the Lord. Well, maybe you have a common interest in somebody. Maybe it's fishing. Right? Well, plan a fishing trip. But make it intentional. Don't just take them fishing. Go have fun fishing, by the way. Right? But now you have somebody in a boat for a long time. They're not going anywhere unless they jump out. Right? Talk to them about things of the Lord. Right? Encourage them. And then show them how to clean the fish, too. And cook it. Right? That's what I mean. Don't be surprised, by the way, if when you take somebody fishing, they teach you something new. Because they might. Right? You can even model for them before you go fishing how to pray to go fishing. Right? You can model for them how to pray for safety on your trip to the lake. Right? If you take them out to eat, show and explain to him how you're going to witness to the waitress. Right? What a wonderful way to do that. You're going to leave a track. You know how you do that. Well, tell the young guy how you're going to do it and then show it to him. Right? I think it's so helpful. Because sometimes we're so timid at how to do this. Well, if somebody shows me how to do it, oh, that wasn't so hard. Right? We're modeling for our younger men this sound doctrine of how to be an older man. Okay. Another suggestion here is to open your home to some of our college students. Now, this has been easy for me because I've been a college professor. Okay. But you're to be hospitable. Okay, open your home up to some of our college students and just have them over, whether it's Sunday lunch, some other time, just to get to know them and them for them to see what happens in your home. Right? If you have invited them over for supper, make sure that they stay for family worship. So you can model for them what that looks like in your home. Okay? I would encourage you to do this with other young families. Invite them over and intentionally make sure they're going to be there so that you can model for them how you do family worship. Now, you may have to change it, because if they have younger kids and you don't have younger kids, you can't do the same thing. Okay? 45 minutes, it doesn't work. Okay? No. I mean, we do this. We had, I'm going to say Josh and Anna. We had Anna and her kids over last night. Right? Can you guys stay for family worship? Oh, we would love that. Right? But we didn't do our normal Saturday night family worship because we had Caleb and Libby, right? A 5 and a 3-year-old. Right? You alter that. But again, you're shaping that young man to know what to do. But you got to model it. You have to model that. Okay? Well, some of you I know meet regularly for reading and fellowship and prayer. And I really do think that those are so wonderful. Please make sure you include the younger men. It really is a great way to develop opportunities for you to be an example. And there's probably other examples too. What do you need to do? You talk to each other. And I'm just giving you some things from my own heart. We got a room full of people that are doing things like this. Let's talk to each other. Well, men, our lesson today hasn't been on purity of our thoughts and actions per se. But as you develop a Titus 2:2 mentality, and as you mentor younger men in the faith, you will come to hate more and more your flesh, and you'll want to incorporate more and more what our brothers have been teaching you this month. You will be more and more dependent on Christ. So it does fit. Live out Titus 2:2 and go find other younger men and mentor them. Can you do that? If you need help, I have this distinguished title now of seniors pastor. And I can help. Right? Really, I think the Lord has given me the opportunity to shepherd you through this. Right? Not by my choice. I just remind you, by your choice. It's actually by God's choice, using you to do that. So please come see me, and I will be happy to help you, as will other men. We have a great opportunity to go model for our families how to worship the Lord, and those around us do it well. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you don't leave us to our own devices, but you give us your word, you give us one another. I pray that we would, as men, come to love you more and model it more and more for those around us, especially our younger men, so that when they get old, they can do the same. Lord, our desire is to worship you as you've created us to do. Enable us to worship you in spirit and in truth today as we go into the worship service. Please once again fill us with your spirit so that we can sing and pray and rejoice in your goodness. And then as we hear your words preached, please give us listening ears and willing hearts that are obedient. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.